So we left the Gemara in Daf Kuf. We're up to the last case, Darash Rava Bar Chana. This is a very, very difficult Gemara, as you know. And a very, very, parts of Tosfos are very difficult. If you're interested in summing things up, at the outset, there's a machlokas Rabbeinu Ephraim, Rabbeinu Tam, whether or not you say Chaticha Nasis Nevela only by Basar B'chalav, but not by Shari Surim, which means when it comes to other Isurim, and we're going to see this, by the way, at the end of the Simon, in the Rush, because the Rush himself, I believe, does not hold like Rabbeinu Tam. He holds like Rabbeinu Ephraim. That if Kazayas of Isur falls into a bunch of Heter, but it's not enough to be Mevatalit, and now that mixture, which is Asur, gets mixed in with other Heter, and now there's enough to be Mevatalit, so Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbeinu Ephraim says, that the Isser is Nisbatel Beheter, because you don't say Chaticha Nasis Tevela, except for by Basar B'chalav. By Basar B'chalav, when a tipa of milk falls onto a piece of meat, and now that piece of meat cooks with more meat, and after the meat itself became Asser, it cooked, it absorbed the milk, and now you toss that piece of meat into a pot of other meat. So we say, even though the tam of the chalav will now diffuse and be Misbatel in the entire pot, you need shishim keneged the chaticha of basar b'chalav that fell in, because the chaticha of basar b'chalav we say chaticha nases nevela. That is the position of Rabbeinu Ephraim. And Rabbeinu Tam claims that chaticha nases nevela applies even by other isurim. The interesting question is, to what extent does it apply? What kinds of tarovis does it apply? There are those who say it applies by other isurim, but it only applies if there's nesinas tam. What does that mean? It means that if you have Isser that's, in a sense, cooked with Heter and it transfers flavor to the Heter, there you say Chaticha Nasis Nevela. But if you were to take Isser and Heter and you were to mix them together, but there's no transfer of flavor, they're just blended together, so then you wouldn't say Chaticha Nasis Nevela, because there was no transfer of Tam. There are Shitas like that, and Tosfos suggests that at the bottom, that maybe you only say it by Nesinas Tam, not even by... I think Tosfos uses the term "bein davar yavesh le davar neser ayidei blia," but davar yavesh might even mean not just davar yavesh. Certainly doesn't mean everybody. Nobody would say chaticha nasis nevela by yavesh biyavesh, tarovis yavesh biyavesh, where the pieces are discrete. And it might even be that even if they're blended together, if there's no transfer of tam through heat, just it's a blending, so then you might also not say chaticha nasis nevela there, even if you hold that chaticha nasis nevela applies by shari surim. Going forward, I am going to refer to Chaticha Nasis Nevela generally by its acronym, which is known as Chanan. So I said it now, I would say, and so from hence to forth, that's what I mean when we say Chanan. Go ahead. No, well, let's talk about Beria is easy to say. You're talking about a Beria, but it's a Mimishe Nomino, obviously.
Yeah.
So the answer is that I think there nobody will say Chaticha Nasis Tevela because the tam of the berry is betela. Mm-hmm. Right? In other words, the only reason...
Well, you could say there's a chance the berry is in a little bit there.
No. That's why you can't... No, the question you want to ask... if you're asking about Chanan, the question you're asking is as follows. If that taroves in toto falls into another batch, you still have the suffix of the din of berry and lobetela. The question you would ask is, what if you now cook that tarovis with the berry? The tarovis is asura. It's asura not because of the flavor of the bug, but because of the existence of the bug, the end of the bug. What if you now cook that, and on assumption we're still choshesh that the bug is still extant and whole, which is itself may not be the case, but let's assume we're choshesh that, would you say now that chaticha nasis avail on this entire thing, and even now if you broke the bug up, it wouldn't matter? And the answer is almost certainly not, because the tam of the bug wasn't what was awesome. Okay, so lach belach, you blend it. Correct. So the question is, and later that yayin now falls, you have a mixture of, let's say, I don't want to say mashehu. You have a real mixture of more than a 60th of yayin nesach that falls into, I don't want to say mashehu because even Rabbeinu Tam says there's no chanan by mashehu. By Yisrael Mashu. I think you guys were talking to me. It's Beferish, you were right, it's Beferish later in Tosfos. The way Rabbeinu Tam gets around one of the rayas of Rabbeinu Ephraim is to say that we already said, by Yisrael Mashu, there's no din of Chanan. If there was more than a 60th, so that the way that's a machlokas within the sheet of Rabbeinu Tam. That's not Nesinas Tam. That's really, it's not Yavesh either. But I think when we see the Ramah, earlier in Hilchos Pasa V'Chalav, you will see there are those who will say that by lach b'lach also, I believe, there's no, as long as there's no heating, there's no din of chaticha nasis nevela. In other words, the point is that they're mixed together, but it's not like the iser has gotten into the heter. That's the svar of saying that in the sin is tam. There are those who would say chanan, but there are others, even within Rami Tam, those who do say.
Let's take a more extreme case. Let's say you do that with Mefusha line, and before it was Mefusha, it's the Yain Nesef falls. So it actually is with the Yain Nesef.
So then I think that Rabbeinu Tam would say the Chatei Chanas is the No. No, because there's no chanan by Isari Kol Shehu.
I see. So what is this mixture? It's not Yain Nesef, it's not Osir Kol Shehu.
No.
What is said on this mixture with, I would say, 150 Yain Nesef?
It's also because the Yain Nesach.
So what is the Yain Nesach?
The entire thing, if you cooked it?
Yeah.
The entire thing is Yain Nesach now.
And so now it's also, it's not also, Yain Nesach is not Osir B'Kolshev.
It is Osir B'Kolshev.
Oh, it's Osir B'Kolshev.
It is, yes, but it, when you Osir wine B'Kolshev of Yain Nesach, that's not Nesach Nevel.
But the mixture is Osir B'Kolshev.
Yes.
Okay.
Correct. Should be.
Okay.
I think so. I think it's just in terms of the labeling of Hanan. You can't make something chanan with an iser mashu, but I think once something is chanan, and it's osir b'mashu. Okay. So anyway, so that's the bottom line of everything in Tosos. And the sugya. That's part that's relevant, because we reject Rabbi Yehuda anyway. So the only other piece that came out of it was the Rashba that we were talking about, that the Shulchan Aruch quotes in Sif Gimel in our Siman. I noted, I think, yesterday, but certainly I'll repeat if I didn't, that this Gemara sounds very much not like the Shach. It really sounds like Minis Oser Mino. Talks about Nesin Nastam of Mino even. And if that's the case, so then it's perfectly analogous to the case that the Shulchan Aruch quotes in reverse. Right? The Gemara here says that you ignore Mino of Heter, and you look at She'eno Mino, and if it's Rabbala Mavatlo, if it's Mavatel the Tam of the Chaticha, or Chatichos, depending which answer the Gemara, so then it is mutter. And the Rashba just reversed it and said, for us, that we really want min b'mino is more easily mispatel. So look at the eno mino as if it doesn't exist. And the mino is rabba lava vatlo, and it's therefore it's only at most the sveka, the rabbanon. And by reading the Gemara quite literally, just as for us, min is oser she'eno mino, not just that it's not mispatel, but it is actually oser, it seems in the Gemara that min, for Rav Yehuda, is in fact oser mino, not just that it's not nisbat abomino, right? Kevan shenas natam chaticha, chaticha nasis nevela, and voseris kol chatichos. Chaticha atzma nasis nevela, voseris kol chatichos. It really sounds, kevan shenas natam b'chaticha, that one actually osers the other, and now it sort of carries over to everything else. So anyway, let's take a look at the Gemara. This would appear to be on some level machlokas Eretz Yisrael and Babel, because who is Rabbi Baruch Hanan usually quote? Rabbi Yochanan. So here we have Darash. I'll pick a new reader. Adin.
Kippa?
Okay, so he says if you had a chaticha of nevela or of dag tamei, it will not asher, it means it can be misbatel, unless you don't have, as if it's no same time, but rota v'kippa chatichas, I mean you can add all those things up to create a shir vitel atam. And if you have for us, let's say, shishim in the stew, of all the materials in the stew, That is measured keneged the issue that fell in. In fact, that's the way we do things. Okay. Next.
Oki Rab Amora Alei Darash. Kevan Shenatan Tam B'Chaticha Chaticha Atzma Nasi Nevela Ba'Oser Kol HaChatichot Kulan B'Pnei She'en Mina.
Okay. So Rab was unhappy. Now here's the interesting thing. There are two Rabba. There's a Rabba Bar Bar Chana, it seems maybe, and there's a Rabba Bar Chana. Look, yeah, I'm not making that one up. And the question is, was this actually the Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan? Was he in Bavel? Because whatever this happens in Bavel, Rab hears about this. Rab sets up an Amora. What's an Amora? A microphone. And It was a human microphone, that's what an Amora was. There are two meanings of Amora. Amora is an Amoraic sage, and also the Amora of the microphone. So he's Oki Allah Amora Vidarash, and he expounds publicly that Kevan Shanasantam Bachaticha Chaticha Atmanasis Navelo Seres Kala Chaticha Skulam Neshemina. So it sounds like he's dealing with a case where one chaticha as is cooked originally with another chaticha. If you look at Rashi, Kevan Shanasna Tam Bachaticha. So let's just, without getting into the first question, the first tzad that Rashi presents, I'm not going to deal with right now. What does it mean that one chaticha was at its side the entire time? That I'm going to hold off on dealing with. Let's just take the second example. Initially, you cook the two chatichas together, and only then, did you then subsequently add all the other stuff. So Rav says that chaticha asered the first chaticha, and then it asers everything else. That's all of the chatichos. Why? Because Rav holds like Rav Yehuda. I mean, because Rav holds mim b'mino, it's not batel. Kol yisurim shebetorah, mim b'mino b'mashu. Moshe?
Is Rav Bar Bar Chana's statement within the idea that we can use kapela to determine this? Does Rav Bar Bar Chana believe that we can use kapela to determine this?
Maybe not, because how do you measure the chatichos, tam and the chatichos?
I mean, I guess tasting each section of the...
No, but you can't taste any other chatichas. It's mina.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So I think so. So Rav. So okay. So anyway. So Rav. Rav says that that it would aser everything. So now the Gemara challenges it. Rav Safar questions Rav. Amar lei. So the question is, what is the Gemara's question?
That Rav must be holding like Rabbi Yehuda.
Right, that's a given.
Rabbi Yehuda holds in b'mino lo batil. So then Rav's, the way Rav chews it, when he says shinat tam, that's extraneous. Even if it wasn't obtained tam, it would still be up there.
Not exactly. You're missing a larger point, Yehuda.
There's no such thing as a tina tam in
b'mino. No, that's not the problem. That's not what Rav is saying. I'm sorry, that's not the Gemara's question. It's not Rav Safar's question. Yair?
If the Hanan Chaticha is going to be Oser B'mino, then the original Chaticha should also be Oser B'mino.
Correct. What do you need a second? What do you need a Chaticha in between? Why do you have to say Kevin Shenasna Tam B'Chaticha Chaticha Atzmanas Es Nevelo Oseres B'Chatichos? The first Chaticha is there. That will Oser all the other Chatichos. Right? The reason why the first chaticha asered the second chaticha was because it was mina. And therefore, and the second chaticha asers the rest of the tavshil because it's mina. So that means if A equals B and B equals C, then by the laws of, I don't know, commutative or associative or something, what?
Transitive.
That's transitive? Whatever. A equals C. Fine. Alex?
Two questions. The first is just to take a step back and to ask, on which point exactly was Rav arguing with Rav Bar Bar Chana?
Well, the simple thing that Rav was arguing was that Rav Bar Chana said that the chatichos are mitstaref to be mevato lechatichas nevela. And Rav said nothing doing. Min is not mevato mino.
But are they talking about the same case? It sounds like Rav Bar Bar Chana is not...
So he adds in a twist, which is interesting, but the assumption is that he is addressing the same halacha.
Okay, I mean, it seems on its surface like what they're really arguing about is just a basic principle to be holding Rabbi Yehuda.
Agree, that's the point.
Meaning?
Exactly. In other words,
Correct,
the question is, A, why does Rav add it, and B, is he adding anything? Now you can understand, by the way, the kasha that Tosus asked Behavlo'ah. Now, if you picked it up against Rabbeinu Ephraim, he gives the teretz, he doesn't ask the kasha. I mean, you look at the Mefarshei Tosfos, they talk about it a bit, which is, according to Rabbeinu Ephraim's reading, that there's no Hanan by Shari Suin, and you sort of read away the Gemara here, why did Rav even mention Chaticha Nasas Nevel? What is it adding? Bishlama, according to Rabbeinu Tam, you could say that Rav argues on Rabbi Chana, number one, whether Mimino is Batal, and number two, whether perhaps you say Chaticha Nasas Nevela. Right, what you would say for Rabbeinu Tam probably is that that Rav Safra could talk about, Rav Barachana could talk about the same case Rav does, namely when you cook two chatichos, Isser and Heter, together first, and now you throw in all the stuff, and Rav Barachana would say that everything but the original chatichos, Isser is muteris. That you don't say Hanan, and the way you might even add an Efshar L'Sochto is mutter. Okay? However, according to Rabbeinu Ephraim, where there's no argument about Hanan, because even Rav doesn't actually hold the Chatecha Nasas Nevela, however you explain the statement, why did he even bother to mention it? Why bother mentioning it? Just say that, the Mimimina was not Bata, you can't count the Chatechos. You know, it's not Achatita and Tam, Erotev, Akiba Chatechos, it's Achatita and Tam, Erotev, Akiba. So yes, the answer is, Rav seems to go into a greater Arichos, which according to Rabbeinu Ephraim would seem to teach us nothing. To teach us nothing. For Rabbeinu Tam, it might be relevant. That Hanan applies even by Shari Surim, whereas for Rav Barachana, it doesn't. Yehuda?
How does the previous Tosso, not the Tosso here, the Tosso we learned a few days ago, just came to Gemara, one of the fundamental assumptions is that there's no such thing as Merkin Tam in the Mina. How can you make the assumption when Gemara clearly says explicitly it's not true?
So the answer is what the Gemara means by no Saint Tam is that there's enough of a shear that if it were Eino Mino, it's no Saint Tam. You'll see the way Rabbeinu Tam explains the Gemara, it means one is substantive and one is, in other words, Isser Mashu is not substantive. Isser Tam means a substantial amount. So yes, you can taste it, but once it cooked in a way that if it were Eino Mino, its flavor would be there, then the Isser is now Be'en. Where it was only a Mashu, the Isser is no longer Be'en, with the ramifications of what the Chaticha does to the next Chaticha. Yes, it is a little bit of a stretch. But that's also what I say runs sort of against the Shach. Right? The whole idea that there's no Nesinas Tam by Mimimino, and that's why the Shach says that Min is not Osemino, Min is just Tamas Batal Mimino, in effect. But really, the Gemara doesn't sound like that. Alex?
My second question was, in terms of what the Gemara is challenging here, I hear that you could ask the Kasha, why didn't you get the first pieces and not the Asher, but it doesn't seem in the words like that's really the thrust of this particular question. Seems like what they're asking is, even without a transfer of time from the first chatecha to the second would become aser because of
chatecha. No, the whole point is kinasan tam means there is a second chatecha.
Is that really?
I think so.
Can't you say that?
Because the point is that if it was not no same time chatecha, what happened? It means it didn't have time alone, bonding time with chatecha number two. In other words, it fell into the whole tarovas. The Gemara's question: my area nasna tam b'chatecha, even if it didn't flavor that one chatecha first, even if you put it into all things, I mean chatecha two and all the other chatechos, you put chatecha number one of Isser into it. It should still be Asir because chatecha number one is minam, and it's Osir b'mashu.
Let's say they had enough time to give the Sinas Tam Elamai, but there wasn't enough of a shear of the first to give it to the second. But because since it's not Batel, because Rabbi doesn't it's Batel the Mashu,
nah.
So it doesn't matter, it's still Hanan.
Nope. The whole point is the Gemara's distinction is between whether or not it asered one chaticha or didn't aser one chaticha first. The kasha that the Rishonim are all asking is, why do you need Nesinas Tam to aser that second chaticha? Masha who should aser it. But this point is very clear, that when you toss a piece of meat of Isser into a tavshil where there's rotev and kippah and other chatichas, if it falls into the stew, it's not no saying any tam directly into the other chatichos. Why? Because it doesn't have time alone with them. So now, we're not going to say either that it gives a mashu to the other chatechos either, if there's enough rotev to be mevatalit. So the point, the two different issues here. One is, why do we have to insist that one chaticha, not that it's no same tam in the other chaticha, the Gemara's question is, why do you have to have one chaticha aser another chaticha? The kasha of the Tosus is, when the Gemara wants to describe how one chaticha asers another chaticha to aser all others, the Gemara chooses to use no same tam and not mashu. And why not? Because if it's oser, the second one, mamashahu, then that should aser all the others.
So you shouldn't need to be in the same
tam. Correct. That's the kasha of Tosus. But the Gemara, so I'm telling you, you can see from Tosus, the Gemara's kasha was, and you can see from the answers of the Gemara, actually. Right? Because theoretically, if you removed iser number one, in other words, how would that solve your problem?
in Seder, I had it worked out, but I don't know if I'd have it.
It's probably not going to work out so well. But if the question is, why does it matter that the second is Asr if the first one will do the Asring anyway? Who cares that the first one Asr'd the second first? So they asked the Gemara's Kasha. The answer was, oh, because you took out the first one. So if the second one wasn't really Asr, and the way Rabbeinu Tam would say, if it was only Asr b'mashahu, then it won't Asr the other Chatichas. It will be Asr, but won't Asr the other Chatichas. Okay? And then the second answer of the Gemara was that you weren't misalik it, but the reason why it can't necessarily Asr all of the Chatichos alone is because there might not have been enough Rotev to be Mevatel the first Chaticha. But there might not be enough Rotev to be Mevatel Chaticha 1 and Chaticha 2, and since Chaticha 2 was Asr because Chaticha 1 was Nas Natambo, therefore you would need twice the amount of liquid to be Mevatel, and you might not have that. But the question still remains, why is it necessary for the second piece to become Asr through Nasi Nastam if it's Asr B'mashu? The same answer should work for that. That's the Kash of Tosis. John?
You said the Nos in Tam is what the Nos in Tam would have been if it was Mim Sheno Mina.
That's just how to calculate what's called Nosein Tam versus Isser Mashu.
The same thing as Shishim?
Yeah, I think Shishim is the right saying. Okay. So how does the Gemara answer? Amar Le, I've already sort of spelled out the possibilities. First Teretz of the Gemara is now, you know what happened? We pulled out the first Isser. And now we're only left the first Chaticha, which was the really originally Asr Chaticha, the Nevela. And now we have a second Chaticha that was Neseres, i.e. the first Chaticha. So, and since it was Neseres, Beno Saint Tam, it now Asrs all the other Chatichas. And this is where Tosus comes up with the question. Who cares if first Chaticha Asrd second Chaticha when Nesinas Tam? If it Asrd B'mashu, it's also Asr, and it should Asr all the Chatichas. So that's where Tosus Rabbeinu Tam comes up with this idea that only an Isr of Nesinas Tam is Oser, it becomes Asr in its entirety. Let's say Chaticha Nases Nevela. Rabbeinu Tam would say that if the first one flavors the second one, meaning flavors in the sense there's enough there to flavor it, then the second one is Nases Kula Nevela Mamish, and then even though you remove the first piece, the second piece does the job just as well. And it asers the other Chatichos B'mashehu. And it would aser the Rotev B'shishim. Okay? Yeah. Wait, no, before you ask. Now let's read the second Teretz of the Gemara, because it will be help us at least keep our Rabbeinu time sheet in mind, so then when we see the problems, it easily see the problems with Rabbeinu Ephraim. So continue, Adin. Rav Amar. So, lo kadam esilko means, what do we have now? Both pieces on the Terovis. We have Chaticha number one, that was Mamish Nevela. Chaticha number two, that was Neseres, initially Ayidei Nesinas Tam, when it had some quality alone time with Chaticha number one. Now we have the rest of the Rotev and other Chatichos that are thrown in. So why does it matter that the second one is still there? The first Chaticha, the original Mamish Nevela, should be enough to ask the other Chatichos. So the answer is? How does this answer the question? You're giving us a rule that when you have Isser of Min that falls into Min Mishen Omino, if you have enough Eino Min, that felt great. So how does this answer the question here? At Yossi?
Because if all we had, if the original Isser was not no Saint Tom, then we would have enough of She'en Omino
Right, if all we had was Chaticha number one here, there might be Shishim in the Rotev to be Mevatalat. Imagine such a scenario. However, now, that Kevan Shenasna Tam B'Chaticha, it Asr the second Chaticha, now you might not have enough, you might not have Shishim in the Rotev to be Mevatal two Chatichas. That's why it's crucial that the first Chaticha Asr the second Chaticha, made it all Nevela, and now instead of having one piece of meat to be Mevatal with the Rotev, you have two pieces of meat, and you might not make it. That's what Rav is saying. But what happens, again, to see where Rabbeinu Tam is going to come from, what if the first Chaticha wasn't no Saint Tam in the second Chaticha? What if it only asered it b'mashehu? What would the din be? So Rabbeinu Tam would say, there's no Chaticha nasnes avela by second Chaticha. That's why it's crucial that kevan shenasna tam b'chaticha, then Chaticha nasnes avela, and it will aser the other Chatichos, with or without the help, depending how much there is, of the original Chatichas Isser. Judah?
I'm not sure if I understand what difference it makes if it's Masha or Nosei Tam in terms of the transfer of Isser.
The whole point, so you understand how a chaticha could asa, could give it tamashu in the chaticha, or it could give it tamamish, even though it's a mimimino. In other words, it means there's enough there and it cooked. So if you had more than a 60th of iser, can I get the heter, more than 1/60th of iser, so that's called no same tam. If you have less than that, that's called masha.
I understand that.
Okay, so now, the point is apparently, the way the Balei Tosfos understood, although one could have probably read the Gemara differently, I haven't dug in all the Rishonim to see if anybody does. The Balei Tosfos say, the Gemara insists, in order for the second chaticha to be, we're talking Rabbeinu Tam now, to be nase sevela, where either on its own it could ask the rest of the chatichas when you pull the first one out, or in combination with the first chaticha, is it could ask the rotev, whereas the first chaticha alone might have been the spot of a rotev, depending on the amount. So that only applies, the second chaticha only asers other things if it was bolea tam from the first chaticha. But it was only bolea mashu, then the second chaticha does not aser all the other chatichas to the rotev, and it doesn't, and alone or in combination. Okay? You sure?
I think so.
Is everybody sure? I'm going to repeat it. That was not a very persuasive, I'm sure. So, even if you are sure, but you're too much of an enough to say that I'm sure. So for those, anybody who might, for the one or two people who might have missed it, let me explain one more time. For Rabbeinu Tam, there is for some reason a distinction between a chaticha, between min v'mino that is nesar, meaning there was enough in the iser to put flavor in the heter if there had been different flavors. Obviously, you can't actually taste it. But if there was enough of a shear, let's say 1/60th of iser, kineged the heter, and they cook together, then Rabbi Nitan says that chaticha that was nesar, ayidei mino, is considered nevela. It is now kulo nepach lios iser. And if that falls into another pot, you have to be mevatel the entire chaticha. Let's say, by chance, you had a 60th an ounce of iser that fell into, an ounce of iser that fell into 60 ounces of heter. It made that it flavored it. And now, that combination falls into another substance, let's say of a different species, different kind, mimishen amino. So Rabbeinu Tam says, since it was 1/60th in the original, it was no same tam, so therefore, the new mixture is nasei sevela. Okay. However, says Rabbeinu Tam, if you had less than 1/60th, you had 1 ounce that fell into 70. Now, if it's min d'amino, according to Rabbi Yehuda, are you allowed to eat the 70?
No.
But what happens if the 70 now falls into a pot of soup, rotev, different kind, min b'she'en amino? How much do you need in the soup to be mevatel? Rabbeinu Tam says, if the iser that fell in originally to the mino was less than a 60th, I'm translating mashu that way, then you only have, you need in the rotev, you don't need rotev to be mevatel all 60 plus ounces of this nevela. You only need enough rotev to aser the half ounce of nevela. That's a chiddush, that you don't say chaticha nasas nevela on a thing, I'll call that, on a thing if it was nesar b'mashu, only if it was nesar b'nesinas tam. One second, let me just go through the Gemara, and then I'll take your questions. Therefore, says Rabbeinu Tam, Rav says the following, if I have one chaticha of basar that cooked with another chaticha of basar, and it was no same tam, there was enough to be no same tam, let's say it cooked long enough, however you measure that, to be no same tam, so now that second chaticha is nevela mamish, and therefore, on its own, if it falls into with the mixture, you have to be in a chishin keneged that chaticha to be mevatel. And it, you don't have it, and it can aser mina. Right? It can aser this now piece of meat. It's like, it's even though it really isn't nevela originally, it is now nevela, it can aser other meat. And even if, let's say, and it also means that if you want to be mevatel this piece of nevela, the rotev, you need how much keneged the whole piece of nevela? Shishin keneged the whole piece. That's basically what the Gemara lays out, the two scenarios. One where you remove the first one, but you still have the second piece of meat that was Nesar, Nasas, and Nevela. And that's why it matters that the first one was no Saint Tom in the second one. Because had it not been no Saint Tom, had it only been Namasha, who, what would it have been? How much would you need it to be Mavatel in the Rotev that the Yisr? Getting the Namasha. Right? Whatever that was. And the second case is when you don't remove the Yisr. But now you have a lot of rotev, but not enough to mevatel both pieces. So if the first piece was no Saint Tom in the second piece, then it's nasei sevela, and you need shishim in the rotev to neged the two pieces. But if the first piece only was getting a mashahu into the second piece, then you only require shishim kenega, the total isser, which would be the original volume of the first piece. Okay, Danny?
So for Rabbeinu Tam, this is all, this distinction is not lamaisa at all, right? Because halacha we pass in against Rabbi Yehuda. So
Rabbeinu Tam's position is very big time important. Not the distinction between... well, firstly, no, that's incorrect. Firstly, we have Yisur of Mashu, Yai Nesach.
Fine.
Number two, okay, Rabbeinu Tam's shita matters much beyond that because... yes, here he claims that there's no Isser Mashahu of Chatich Hanasin. Mashu doesn't make Hanan, but Tam makes Hanan according to Rabbeinu.
Exactly, so that means that everything...
let's call him Rabbeinu Tam. Okay.
Everything is Hanan. Everything.
That's terrible. That was awful. It's amazing that I think it's my third time teaching this. It's only the first time I made that awful joke. So scratch it from the record.
For Rabbeinu Tam. For Rabbeinu Tam then. The vast majority of Isurim come out to be fully operational. Right?
Correct. That's exactly the point.
Okay.
And the only thing that's left to discuss is how do you make something Hanan? Only with the Sinas Tam or even just with Tarobas? You know, Lach Balach.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So, could it be that the reasoning behind the Beit Tam's idea is we know this is true by Beria, but maybe holds it's true by all Isurim Mashu. So the problem with Isurim Mashu is not that you're tasting the Tam of Isur, it's that you might be tasting the Tam of Isur in any bite. And therefore, we can make mimanashah in a situation like this. As opposed to when you have actual tinas tam, where you'll say that it's...
why is there a mimanashah here?
Wherever the Easter is, in this mixture...
you might taste it. So now that it's flavored, now it goes another thing, maybe you can...
tam mashu. So now we'll say, wherever it is, all this lump of chaticho, there's somewhere a tam Easter, but wherever the tam Easter is, it's nevatel with all the heter. It's nevatel because of all the heter of sheinomina that you have. You'll say that it might be
okay.
Piece A, it might be piece B, it might be piece C, it might be piece D, but whichever pieces it's in, it's mevatel the she'ena mina. Because it's only... because
I'm using the conclusion to even reason.
What problem are you trying to solve?
I'm trying to explain why there would be this difference. It's arbitrary. So I'm trying to explain why Rabbeinu Tam might think it makes sense to make this type of distinction between no tintam and Isur Ein Mashu.
Why does it seem arbitrary?
Why should be any different than
right? Okay.
I'm trying to say that maybe the Isser Mashu is that any moment when you're eating this thing that's all the same mean, you might be tasting the Isser. It's not that every moment you're tasting the Isser. It's at any moment you might be tasting the Isser.
Okay.
And therefore, you can do...
so why isn't it possible that maybe that Tom will then transfer, that piece of Tom might transfer to the next thing? That Tam Mashu might go from one to the next.
Either way, you only have one piece worth of Tam that you're worried about.
But if you're worried that you don't know when you're eating it, but you might have Tam at some time, why can't that go to the second one?
The Tam is, you don't taste it because it's batel, so it's overwhelmed by the other Tam. Wherever the Tam Isur is, since it's all of your items, the Amida, mixed in with over 60, to be mevatel it, wherever it is mevatel in the Shein Amida.
Again, I don't think that's addressed. And if it's no Saint Tom, why can't that might also be overwhelmed by the She'en Omino? Except that in other words, if 1 ounce of Isser got into a chaticha, a very tiny chaticha, was all absorbed into a chaticha 20 times its size, right? So that Tom also could be mispatel in the Rotev. But we say, no, in the Rotev, you need the entire piece.
No, because now you have a piece that all tastes like nevela. And if you eat that piece, it all tastes like nevela, or whatever. The whole piece is the Tam Nevela, and therefore,
sure.
We'll say...
But you're presenting, the way you're presenting the first one, it's purely quantitative, so it's just a question of what the quantity is. There has to be a qualitative difference between the two. Quantity's not going to work. Mashahu means a really small amount. I deliberately, Rabbeinu Tam doesn't say, but I assume Mashahu could be 1/70th.
Right.
What's the difference between 1/70th and 1/60th?
Because
based upon what you're saying. And better, I'm going to make it better. What's the difference between 1/61st and 1/60th?
Because 1/61st, you're not actually tasting the Easter. The heter is overwhelmed there. That's the Chachamim's worldview. That's the whole point.
But we're not holding like the Chachamim here.
Right, no. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, there would be So according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's the same thing. He adopts the Chachamim point of view in some situations, I guess. You have to say that he adopts it l'chumah. You have to say Rabbi Yehuda adopts the Chachamim's way of looking at it l'chumah, not l'kula.
Okay. Kasdan.
According to the framework you've just established in the Gemara, is Chaticha number two, the one that is not Seit Nevela.
Right, and then Asher's the other Chatichas.
You know where that is? You can identify
that? The assumption here right now is you can identify the Chatichas.
So why is it, maybe I'm just misunderstanding some of the case, why if it's Yavish B'Yavish, can't you just take it at, why are we talking about Bittel here?
You have to Bittel Tana Chaticha.
Meaning it was cooked together.
Yeah, we're in a pot here. There would be no discussion in the Sinas Tam by Yavish B'Yavish.
But Yavish B'Yavish is cooked together, there would be, you're saying.
Yes.
Okay.
Morty?
I think we sort of mentioned in Massing that there might be some other way to qualify for Mashahu other than having a small quantity. You said if it didn't cook for long enough together?
I'm not really sure that you can have such a... I mean, theoretically, a Kfela should be able to ascertain that, but only by... It has to be, you know, Superman Kfela. Who could taste whether the problem, you know, way to know. But in theory, if you could ascertain that less than 1/60th transferred, then you might say that right. But normally, we're just going to measure shishin. So I'm sorry, I shouldn't have thrown it. That was a fanciful flight of imagination. That's only by Basar B'Chalav, though. That's Exeris HaKasav, a Bishul, not Tam. It's one of the things to remember in Yeridea, that the rules of Bishul and the rules of transfer of Tam are two totally different things. Yossi?
Does Rabbeinu Tam's distinction also apply to the Basar B'Chalav? Meaning if a Masha is that not really a question?
Yeah, I'll give you 10 seconds to tell me why it's not really a question.
Because
there is something confusing in Aratosis a little bit in this regard, but fundamentally once you're in the standard frame, it's not confusing. The formulation is a little tricky. By definition, by Basar B'Chalav, there can't be an Isser Masha. Why?
Because it's only us the ones that actually come together. No,
it's right. Thank you. It's only also Benesias Tam, right? That's the whole question. Whether Tam Kikr Daraisa can, Tam Kikr can be learned from Basar B'Chalav or can't be learned from Basar B'Chalav.
The real answer is that there's such a thing as Mina with
Basar B'Chalav. Yes, because if there's no Tam, besides milk and meat, don't taste the same. And that we know. And that we're Samech upon Tim Asi Sra, to know that milk and meat don't taste the same. Okay. You can have Mimimino by Basar B'Chalav.
That's good.
Milk and the udder meat still don't taste the same. Yes, but they still taste different. Theoretically, if you extract the milk from an udder, presumably it's going to taste the same as the milk that you milk. Midoraisa, the milk will be parv. Yeah. Right? Because if it weren't parv, and you cook it in meat, it should be basar chol d'raisa, but it's not when you cook the kal. What?
I thought maybe we'd be basar,
because it's true. No. So this is a very important point to you. Something that comes from an animal that doesn't taste like basar is not considered basar. Right? Otherwise, all chalav would be basari. So you could never drink milk. You know why? That's a new chumrah. It's the chumrah of the century club. Right? You can't drink milk, because there's a din of basar. Because it comes from a cow. And whenever you're drinking it, it's like having basar b'chalav at the same time. It's a bit drabanan, but still, we hold the issue in drabanan also. So the answer is it has to have tam of basar.
What else falls under that category?
Hold on. What else falls under that category? Dam is not going to be basar. You cook chalav in dam, it's not basar b'chalav. What? No, but honey, bee's flesh is not flesh, so...
But it's the same idea.
No. He's asking, is there a product of an animal that is edible, but it doesn't taste like basar, and therefore it doesn't have a din of basar other than chalav? He's so provincial, I tell you. It's like... His Eastern European ancestors, just a couple of generations ago, survived on this. It was the little they had.
What's your
It is actually revolting in theory, but there are people who like it, apparently, so and it's just our personal taste. Okay. Anyway, so the question is there anything else? Correct. Eggs are not considered basar because they don't have tam basar. And that's, I think, the sugya in which it comes up, actually. Thank you, Moshe, for speaking. I couldn't remember where it was. That's where the issue comes up. It's the Rabbanon, obviously, for Moshitos, because basar pachol is the Rabbanon. But by eggs, the whole point of eggs is that when it switches over from no longer tasting like meat to tasting like egg, it's not basar pachol. Thank you. I believe that's what I wanted. Okay. Anyway, fine. So, was there any other questions before we attempt to bang our heads against the wall with this tusks? What's that? Is fish considered fleshik?
I think for the Jerobon and Dainan, of fleshik and meat together. Fleshik and fish together.
That is dependent upon the question of sakana, not based upon tam of fish. I very, very rarely eat meat and fish rarely in the same meal, and I usually use a separate fork because someone has set out a fork because that's what you do. Not just because you're from, but because there's a fish fork. However, if you're asking me, would I eat meat and fish together if this was in the road, I would. Most people, I think, well, there are people who wouldn't because because they think it's dangerous or they have a superstition. There are people who wouldn't because they think it's still binding, even though the sakana issue isn't relevant, but I believe that this is a case where, like other dinim of sakana, that if the sakana isn't present, this is not a davar shel minyan, and therefore I don't think that it's an issue. But know that a lot of people would disagree with that. Correct. Mayim Megulim the Shulchan Aruch already says. Right? So I don't think they had figured out yet that, it's a complicated question. I think that the one does not. Again, I don't think you need to go out of your way to be machit to the other, and I would say personally I probably rarely ever actually have the occasion to do so, because usually I'm having fish in the meal or meat in the meal, but on occasion you have such a thing. So I personally am not machit, even though I can't tell you that it comes up terribly often, if at all. So. If you leave a cup of water out overnight, you're not going to get sick from drinking in all probability. And the snakes certainly did not come and sit their venom in it. Because we don't have those snakes anymore. Does nechashim anat matziyim beinenu? Whatever. Okay. So let's take a look at Tosfos. And by the way, if your mother or your wife gets all worked up about meat and fish together, don't eat meat and fish together. Not because it's dangerous or because I think it's usser, but because of shalom bayis. Okay? Don't be a litvak. Okay? What's that?
That becomes dangerous.
You know, Herzog, it's recorded on tape. They have to figure out it was your voice, Herzog, but if they do... All right, and then, Yossi.
This is not like a chocolate question, but halav shtuta with basarot, is that...
You want to make a double drop on here? It doesn't help. I don't think anybody says it's mother. I don't think so. There is something about double drop on, someone was telling me about in Basar B'chol, but I don't remember what it was, where I can. I don't know. Let's move on. Adin, go ahead. Start. The really hard part in Tosfos is the beginning. The rest of the Tosfos is, it's sort of mechanical, going through various proofs. It's important, but it's not so difficult. It's the beginning part that's very difficult, the first, 12, 15 lines. Go ahead. So the question is an obvious question. Certainly, once we've spelled out everything we've spelled out. If min is oser mino b'mashehu, so who cares whether the chaticha rishona was nas natam b'chaticha shniya? If we put a mashehu, even without mesinas tam, the chaticha shniya is nasura, and you should say chaticha atzma nasis nevela. Now, I want to consider, I mentioned this before, I'm going to repeat it. There is another possible teretz to this. I don't know if any of the rishonim say it. And what would that be, Moshe?
It's only Oser as long as the amino is still there.
No, that's a very interesting approach, but I don't think that would fit so well with the set when he says, you know, it's silka. Adin?
It's probably going against how, like, all, especially Tosas, but then the reason that, right, Mashu, the reason that the Heter becomes Oser is not because of Tom, it's because there's some sort of ratio thing. And the only way you can be Oser other things is through Tom. So if the Isra Mashu makes this Heter Chaticha Oser itself, but it has no mechanism through which to be Oser.
I think you're saying what I'm thinking, but you're not spelling it out properly. The Gemara says, Kevan Shanasta Tama Chaticha. You all were bothered by it, never bothered. There's no Nesinas Tam by Mimino. The answer is, it doesn't mean Nesinas Tam. It doesn't mean a shear of Nesinas Tam. It means Kevan Sha'asar Ismino. Once you cook the two together, even for a moment, here we agree, it could be the briefest moment, Morty, and I don't even know, even if only a Mashu transfers, it doesn't matter. That's called Nesinas Tam for Rabbi Yehuda by Mimino. Nesinas Tam doesn't mean actual Nesinas Tam, because it can't. Nesinas Tam means Asari. Kevan Sha'asra Chaticha Eschaverta. Chaticha nasa es neve lavoseres kol chatichas, right? So it may just be that nesin es tam is a melitza for kol shehu according to Rabbi Yehuda by Mim Mimina. Which means, in effect, that what? Lav dafka. That's the point. The kash of Tosus is based on the assumption that means dafka. Kevan shenas natan b'chaticha.
Why would you then need the Gemara's answer to the Gemara's question?
So the Gemara's question is as follows. Why do you have to talk about first one asers the second, and then the second asers everything else? Which implies, in other words, the first one is doing all the asering. The answer to the question is that you pulled the first one out. And if the first one didn't have, as I called it before, quality time with the second one, it might have been nisbatel in the rotef. But because it had quality time with the second one alone and asered it, not benesinas time necessarily, but mashu even, that's called asering. They call the same time. So then, memeila, the second one does the job. And then, you know, the Gemara gives a different approach, but you can follow through to the second one. So it's possible one could have said that nasna tam is lav davka. It means asra. Okay, but Tosis is not assuming that way, yes.
I think there's a support that Rav is kind of responding directly to Rav Bar Rachana. Rav Bar Rachana used the Lashon Natan Tam, so obviously he's using the same language, but...
So that would be an explanation of why he was imprecise, but it could still be Lav Dafka. But now Tosis is not going to work with that assumption, so the kash is, why do you need Nesinas Tam? Mashahu should be enough to Aser as well, and make number two into a full-fledged flaming Isser of its own. Okay, go ahead. Omer Rabbeinu Tam. Shete ose nevela.
How would I say?
Ta'ase.
Ta'ase nevela la'asor kol ha'achirot. Kivan shehi atzma lo ne'esra ela al yidei kol shehu.
Okay, so Rabbeinu Tam doesn't really explain why. Yehuda was making an attempt. But I think it cannot be a quantitative issue. I think it has to be, at some level, a difference between the nature of what it means to ask or something ben nesinas tam versus to ask or something ben mashahu. Al regalachas, I think it's obvious. I'm not sure if this is going to hold true. What is the difference between things that are oser ben nesinas tam and things that are oser ben mashahu? What's the difference in mechanism? Yeah.
Things with nesinas tam are oser, whereas something that's oser ben mashahu is just oser deeds.
So I think actually I'm starting to put something together. But Yehuda, I don't know if he was saying this. Maybe this is what he was saying, and I apologize. This is what you're saying, and I've only reached the conclusion now myself. But when you have the level of Nesinas Tam, I don't think this is what he was saying. The Isser has done something to the Heter. When you don't have Nesinas Tam, you can't say, and you're saying this, Yair, you can't say that the Isser has done something to the first one. It's just that it's not oser. It's just that it's not misbatel in the heter. Now, and this, by the way, does explain exactly why Rabbeinu Tam's svara, which is, if the first iser has done something to the heter, then you can say chaticha nasis devela. That's exactly what it means. But once it can't, it's not enough of it to flavor it. So then, you can't say that it made the whole heter into iser, because it really can have an impact upon it. It's just that it's not misbatel. It's not misbatel in the heter, And therefore, the Isser is there, but it doesn't change the heter into Isser. And then when that falls into Eino Mino, all you have to be Mevatel in the Eino Mino is the original Isser. Okay, you said something very different, even as I'm listening to it.
I'm looking at what I wrote, what I was saying. So therefore, both Tinas Tam, both pieces become the Aser one. Without the Tinas Tam, they are both Aser because either one might be the Aser one.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Okay,
I mean, I see how they might be a little bit connected. Yeah. My argument is that one transforms the Heter, one just remains within the Heter. And that explains very nicely, because that's almost... I mean, I'm guilty of almost doing something, you know, that I really normally despise, which I'm reformulating what Chaticha Nasa mean, but it's Mistaber on its own. Right? In some way, I've just reformulated. Well, one transforms it, Chaticha Nasa, but there's a reason for it. In other words, when it flavors something, it has actually physically transformed it. Or and when there's enough to flavor it, we look at it as if it's physically transformed it, and that's why we say Chaticha Nasa Vela. But when it would not be capable of affecting a physical transformation, so it still can be Mizbatel, because Mimbamino is not Batel, but you can't say that it changed the Heter. Alex?
There's 1/60th of taste in this versus there's 1/61st of taste.
The assumption is that, no, that's not correct. The shear of shisha means, by things that do taste different, it's hard to see quantum. You know, how is it that if there's 59.96 parts heter, kenegi the isser, that's called no sein tam. And if you have 60, all of a sudden the tam is batel. Obviously, it's a continuum, but there's a certain point at which we say it's no longer considered tam. Okay, so listen. When something gives flavor into what we call tam, we say that it has changed the heter.
Does that mean that there is part of it that we can taste, or the entire thing, all of it tastes like the iser?
No, the assumption is it's misarev. There's bila here. If you don't do bila, you're going to ask for things even without shishin. In other words, I could have 1/100th, but if it falls into one spot and doesn't get stirred up, and I take the spoon in one spot, I'm going to taste it. Shishim presumes it is distributed evenly throughout. Yes.
That's a given. That's a given.
Yes. So the point is that something that's no Saint Tom is actually changing the nature of the heter, and we can detect it, because we can detect the Tom. Once it's below the threshold of Nesinas Tom, and it's only Nesimashahu, from our vantage point, if we weren't from Jews interested in observing God's law, so then we would just say, it's not here, it didn't do anything, and it's the same, the heter was the exact same thing as it was before. Then that's why, so then what it means to say, that is, by the way, highlighting, coming back to, you see now we're coming back to the defense of the Shach. But sort of, not exactly. See, here's the problem with the Shach. The problem with the Shach is, now you're seeing it anymore. What the Shach claims, min is not misbatel b'mino, is only half true, according to at least Rabbeinu Tam. In other words, by Isser Mashehu, what Isser Mashehu means, min is not mevatel mino. But when you have enough of a shear of Nesinas Tam, if they were different flavors, of min b'mino, then min is oser mino. That's what it sounds like from Rabbeinu Tam's presentation of the sugya, his reading of the Gemara, right? Which would undermine the whole Shach. Right, because the Shach assume that once you have a rove of amino in the end of this Gemara, a rove of amino, then it's not that min aser is amino, just min is not misbatav amino. But it's not true. According to the Gemara, the way Rabbeinu Tam reads it, when you have a shear of nesinas tam in the min b'amino, then it asers. Once you have only an iser mashehu, then it's only not misbatav. But that won't solve the problem with the Shach. It would be enough. Once you say that, then the Rashba is correct. The way the Taz understood it. Morty?
If the problem for an Iser Mashu is that it's not Mispata, then when you take the Be'en out of the Iser, then why should it still be Aser? Why should the...
Well, you didn't take them, but the point is, no, the whole point is that if you took the Be'en out, we might agree with that. The problem is you can't take, in other words, in a situation where it's Oser B'mashu, so we can't take the Be'en, we can't take the Iser out. If we could, you're
in
a Hanami. Nah, except for the one. So the point is that one asered the other and made it into nevela, made it entirely iser according to Rabbeinu Tam. So now when you take the first one out, the second one is mamish nevela, like the first. If it had only been iser mashehu, and it wouldn't have asked the other one, then it's a totally separate ballgame. The rotef cannot be mevatel the ishamashu, wherever it is. But the case of where kishakadam besilko, kadam means before you put the rotef in, before you put the rest of the stew in, you took the iser piece away. But since it was no same time in the second piece, you haven't removed the iser anymore, that, because the time is there.
I'm just not understanding why it's aser to begin with.
But I cooked the two pieces together.
Yeah.
There's enough in the first piece to flavor the second piece.
But if there wouldn't be enough to flavor the second piece.
Then Enochanami, when you remove the second piece is still aser. Because it absorbed the mashu from the first piece. What? Not enough to make it, less than a 60th, but it absorbed something. So it remains usur, but we don't say that the entire thing is now transformed into nevela. To transform something into nevela, you have to change it. And a mashu doesn't change the larger substance. It makes it prohibited to eat because that isur is buried somewhere in the larger thing. It's not misbatel, but it doesn't change the larger substance. It doesn't make it nevela. Why? Because it hasn't physically changed it in any way. That if, let's say, it were two different things, it would be nesin astam. Yeah, Yair?
Can I say this is the difference between the Nisr Gavra and Nisr Chatza?
No.
If it will make you feel better and fulfilled, you can. That's my pastoral answer. I'm actually thinking about it for a second. There's a way in which you could sort of say that. I admit it's not my intuition to usually think in this term. In this case, there are times I think it's useful to think in that terminology. I think you're technically, literally correct here. In one case, the iser transforms the heter. In the other case, the iser just prevents me from eating it. But it prevents me from eating it because I don't know where it is. Right? It's not, I wouldn't say, okay, I hear what you're saying. And if you want, if they will laud you and treat you and throw whatever they call luau's on there and cast shirayim all over you in a certain other quarters because you introduced gavra and chatza into the shir. Yeah. So I think you're technically right, but I don't think it's helpful here. Okay. Okay. Yes.
Put in several, let's say, I don't know, a few like molecules of it, but you dye them with a microscope, so you can find them again, and then you remove the molecules. Like three molecules.
Isser mashahu, according to Rabbeinu Tam. The question is that Negeh Reshut L'Sof? I don't want to answer that question. No, I'm going to answer your question. I don't know if anybody else is going to follow this. I don't know if you're going to follow it. There seems to be an opinion in Tosfos. I think it's actually buried in this Tosfos, and maybe in that context, and it comes up in a very difficult Tosfos on Sadi Zayin Amid Beis, which we may do some point about Kachal. Reb Kiva Eger asked the Kasha there. Tosfos seems to be assuming that Efshel L'Sof Tov Aser is not the same thing as Chaticha Nasas Nevela. In other words, it's possible to say that Chaticha is not Nasas Nevela, but Efshel L'Sof Tov is still Aser. I mean, once a Chefza becomes Asura, once an object, an item or something, a substance becomes Asura, even though we don't say the entire thing is now transformed, even if you could extract it remains Aser. There was that Rashba that I keep talking about in Simen Kovav, about that Chaticha, you mishar kenege the balua, but the chaticha itself remains asura. I think Tosu seems to have this idea that you can say efshel l'sof tov is asur even though you don't say chaticha nasis nevela, and I think it may come up again in this Tosus, and that could be the issue here possibly. But it's important to understand that Rashba, why is it that efshel l'sof tov is asur if it's not nasis nevela? And that's the important question. The question is it because it's impossible to get at all the Isser? It's complicated, but I think the answer to your question sort of lies in that. It depends on if you don't say Chatichanas is the Vela there, it depends upon whether or not you would say Efshar the Sochto is Mutter now that you're not saying Chatichanas is the Vela or not. And then, even so, it might still depend, even if you say it's Usser, it might depend on whether, you know, if you got everything out, you knew you got every molecule out, then it might depend on how you understand Efshel L'Sof Tov is Usser. Why? Okay, and that's dependent on how you understand that Rashba that's quoted in Simen Kofav. Okay, so now, That was Rabbeinu Tam Shita. Now the tricky part is, you already all know, regardless of what you understand from the continuous doses, you all know what Rabbeinu Ephraim Shita is, because I told you, and because it's abundantly clear, and because most of the other Rishonim hold that way. You don't say Chaticha Nasas Nevela by this Chaticha. Which means, if you don't say that, what does that mean effectively for the Bittul in the Rotev? Before we read it, I'm doing this backwards because it's so hard to extract from Rabbeinu Ephraim. The Tosfos doesn't flow so well. So what does it mean if you say that you don't say Chaticha Nasas Nevela, if you say that there's no such thing outside of Basar Bechala, of the Heter actually being transformed by this? So how does the Gemara read?
You think Rabba's answer?
Especially Rabba's answer, yes. Especially Rabba's answer. Right? The first answer I can sort of explain. Okay? There's no distinction between Issa Mashu and Issa Mesinas Tam for Rabbi Ephraim. So the Gemara's Kasha is, why do I need the second for Rabbi Yehuda? That min is oser mino b'mashu. Why is it important that the first chaticha aser the second chaticha initially, and then I put the rest of the rotav in? Who cares? The first chaticha, the actual iser mamish, the part of the nevela, will aser the other chatichos. That was the Gemara's question. So far, so good, even for Rabbeinu Ephraim. The Gemara's answer to that question is, no, it's Kadam Vesilko. Kadam Vesilko means that you remove the first Isser, but because the first Isser put Tom in the second Isser, now it sounds like the second Isser now puts Tom in the other Chatichos, that's why that's called Mimimino, that it's Oser Ramashim. Fine. Now the Gemara wants to give a different teretz. The Gemara wants to say that we're not focused on, the second answer focus is actually a little different. He said, if the first Isser is no sin tam in the second, that's what it says, kevich and nosna tam b'chatika, then the second Isser can transfer some of that tam to the other chatikas.
Oh, meaning it's just kind of like holding, it's transferring it.
Yes. And Rabbeinu Ephraim, in explaining that in some way, in understanding that way, that there's no chatika nasas nevela per se, but it's the chatikah, but it's the tam transferring from the first one to the second one and then to the third one. So it's very straightforward. Very straightforward. But now comes Rabba's second teretz. You're not happy, Moshe. Okay.
I mean, it says, Chaticha Atzma Nasas Nevela.
Okay, so I know that. So there's not no getting around that particular piece. You have to say, you know, for Rabbeinu Ephraim, you almost have to say what it means is that it absorbed Isser. And that Isser is then transferred. No matter what we say, Moshe, there's going to be that like mountain to climb that the Gemara does say Chaticha Nasas Nevela. I'm not going to argue with that. That is an insurmountable obstacle. Short of editing it out of the Gemara, which Tosfos clearly does not do, you have to just, you know, have a little faith here. Okay? It means that since the first one was out, Rabbeinu Ephraim is claiming that there's no such concept of real Hanan outside of Asachal. What it means here is the first piece asked the second piece. And now, even though you remove the first piece, the second piece can ask the third piece. But we would say, if you transfer a tam of the original Isser, not from the second piece, but the Isser tam that got from the first piece into the second piece now travels from the second piece to the third piece. The second piece itself wasn't the problem. It still isn't the problem in theory. However, the continuation of the Gemara is what's difficult. Why? So now the Gemara says, that's a different answer. Rava says, no, you didn't take it out. Rabbi says, what happened here? That both chatichos remain in the parochos. But the concern now is, it will also the other chatichos if you don't have enough rotev to be mevatel. And if it were only the original chaticha, it would have had shishim. But now that you have two chatichos of Isser, because the first one asered the second, now you need twice as much rotev, and you may not have that, and it will also the rotev, and it will also the rest of the chatichos. So Tosfos realizes it's a big problem for Rabbeinu Ephraim. Why? Why?
The second one doesn't barely anything else. It's just a little mashu.
Forget that. How much total Isser can there possibly be in this pot?
One
chaticha. That's it, the original chaticha. I don't care how much remains in the original chaticha and how much transferred to the second chaticha. I just know that as one of you coined in Seder, on the basis of the principle of the conservation of tam, which is one of the basic laws of nature, it may not be a law of Yerodea, because chaticha nasas nevela denies the idea of conservation of tam, but chaticha nasas nevela is like the nuclear explosion. So, but on the basis of the conservation of tam, if I started out with one nevela piece plus one heter piece, and they cook in the pot, however they cook, there's never more flavor than one piece of nevela. So how can the Gemara say that, but we left the original chatichen, but the original chatich alone wasn't enough to aser the entire rotef, and now everything becomes aser, including the other chatichos. But now that I have two chatichos of aser, now I have, the original, say I said it wrong, the original chaticha wasn't enough to aser the rotef. There was shishin. Now that I have two chatichas of aser, now I don't have enough rotef, and the rest of the pot is aser. So what are you talking about? There's only, according to Rabbi Ephraim, that you don't say chatich nasas nevela, this conservation of tam, and the total amount of is in this pot can never exceed one chaticha, and all you need is shishim and the rotef can neged that one chaticha. Yeah,
if I had a piece of nevela in a pot, and I took it out, we would generally assume in that pot, the maximum possibility would be the amount of one nevela piece.
Yes.
And if I were to put that piece of nevela into another pot and do it again...
Someone answer his question, please. You don't understand his question?
I understand his
question. Chavrusa. Come on. Someone answer, I didn't even... You're always going with that question. It was obvious. Go ahead. Repeat your question here.
I'll
let you finish.
Okay. The Bizan Nevela puts one Nevela's worth of Tom into one pot, and then puts another Nevela's worth of Tom into a second pot, then it seems like the Bizan Nevela has Tom itself beyond the Tom it already left in the first pot.
Can someone answer that question, please, now? Yehuda?
I don't know which pot.
It's only Midin Safek. Here we can say Mimanar Shafek. We only say it in those cases because Midin Safek. I think it's clear if you don't hold the Chadiga Nasas Nevela, and a piece of Nevela fell into one pot where there was Shloshim, and it fell into another pot, there was Shloshim, and now the two pots got mixed together, we would say that it's Mutter. Right? So it's only Midin Safek that we don't know how much flavor got into which thing. But when you can say Mimanar Shafek, we know the total. If you're not holding Chanan, which we, even if you hold Chanan, but Chanan changes the total. But if you don't hold the Chanan, then it's mother. Okay. Alex?
I don't know whether this works, but there is such a thing as degrees of taste. Like, you can have one piece of meat that really, really tastes very meaty, and in theory could diffuse the taste.
Can someone answer that question? It just means that the thing is more flavor. In other words, that's the kind of piece of meat that requires more than shishin to be mevatel in theory. And if it's a high, if it's a meat milsa David alataima, at the end of the day, based
right,
upon.
So maybe.
Okay, so you know what? Okay, say better. I realize what you're saying now, Matt.
I think we're saying there's a zero sum of tam, and so that if it starts getting used up, it would come out if the same piece of meat is 5,000 times, the amount of taste that it's
going to
be giving on the last time is not nearly as potent as the first time. So that you wouldn't need shisha.
What are you answering? No, I'm restating
the question.
So the truth is, what your question is actually Tosus's answer in a different way. When Tosus talks about the piece of meat shriveling, it's affected what Tosus is saying in a different way. It's not quite the same thing, but it's a very similar idea. But what you're just saying, in other words, what I'm going to tell you is the following. When you have that one piece of meat initially, right, it's a very flavorful piece you're telling me.
Right, so there's enough that even with all that flavor gone, it would still, had this meat that is now got rid of its flavor, had that been...
Okay, but it doesn't. Your answer actually doesn't fit in the words of the Gemara, because it means that piece of meat needed more than shishim. If that piece of meat, in other words, what you're telling me is that piece of meat, after it flavors the second piece, and now these two things can flavor as if they're two pieces of nevela, it meant that the first piece of nevela was actually more than one piece of nevela. It was just concentrated. It was a milsa davi de la taima. What I'm telling you is...
Well, do we need to invoke that such a strong principle? Can we not say that we can observe this physically and say that it's not actually a kapha that's a milsa davi de la taima, but there's enough flavor here that...
Okay, now, Alex, listen. In what you're saying is that in the first... Let's say there weren't the second piece of meat. The second piece of meat is lomala v'lo morid. Right, whatever flavor that first piece of meat had, let's say it's intensely flavored meat. Okay, so you have to mevatel that. It's not that you have to mevatel the second piece.
whatever tam there existed in that first piece, whatever proportion, you give me the number, how much food in the pot would be necessary in order, what multiple would be necessary to mevatel that meaty piece of meat that you're talking about? Give me a number.
60.
If that's the case, when you add another piece of meat and you cook it together with that other piece, and now you toss those two pieces into the bigger pot, it'll be misbata b'shishim. There can't be more flavor that's created. Of Isser.
When you have a milsim avila time, what's the shear?
However much gives flavor. It could be 1/100, it could be 1/1000. If it's a highly powerful flavoring agent, and you can taste it.
But I assume that we don't have every single point on the spectrum defined.
Most, unless we know otherwise, we work with shishim.
What I'm saying is that shishim is actually a broader category than we fully appreciate. We're not going to start making nuances between 160 and 160, you know, and 115. We do have this sort of like quantum leap to milsim avila tamei, but within 160 there's actually a broad range, which means that this could in theory give off tam and still be enough that had we just been looking at this piece after the fact as our starting point, that would still be considered
Again, I have. Let's just review the scenario.
Well, I get. You're saying that if there's that much tam, then the threshold should be higher. But I don't know that we have a category for that.
No, we do. It's called nesinas tam. We're engaged in a hypothetical here anyway. We don't have to work with shishim per se. I know the following. I know that if this piece of meat is at the threshold, you can just taste it. But a little less meat, you won't be able to taste. When you throw in another piece of non-nevela, kosher meat, you're not going to have any more of the iser flavor than you. If it gives off flavor into that iser meat, that heter meat that you put in, it's going to lose some of its flavor. The two combined are not going to have any more flavoring capacity than the one alone before you cooked it with the second piece. Where Tosis gives an answer...
Maybe more surface area of taste.
It all blends together. It penetrates. It's cooked in a liquid, in a stew. When you roast, it may be only the outer part, right? When you roast meat on a fire, or fish, or something like that, in a frying pan, whatever it is, the outside gets cooked, and the inside takes much longer to cook. When you stick something in a pot, and you boil it in a liquid, now theoretically it may cook from the outside, but the whole thing tends to get cooked relatively uniformly, right? It's not, in other words, it's the heat, once it all becomes heated to a certain temperature, it all basically cooks uniformly.
So the notion that there'd be some sort of saturation principle, that like there was more tastier than we could taste, as it were. It had the capacity to give off,
whatever capacity chaticha number one and real nevela has, that's all there is in this pot. You can't possibly wind up with more flavor. If you, supposing this were an iser, this were a flavoring agent, it's job with the flavor, whatever amount you need. Rest assured, if you use it, if it flavors, gives off some flavor, and let's say this flavor is enough to flavor 20 packages of M&Ms. And now, I don't know what you do with it, you flavor something else with some of it. And now you take the rest, this ball, this cinnamon stick, let's say. It's a cinnamon stick, okay? And I could normally flavor with this one cinnamon stick 20 M&Ms. And now I have it cook a little bit of time with two Milky Ways, whatever, okay? And now... Kasdan, is your mouth watering? I know.
Yes.
Okay? It can no longer flavor 20 M&Ms. It just can't be. That's physically impossible. It can't give the sufficient flavor, the level you wanted. Right? The level, whatever's...
What he's saying is all you can say is that it can't do more than 20 M&Ms.
That's the point. That's the kasha against Rabbeinu Ephraim. And you have to explain to me how it could do more than 20 M&Ms. Danny?
I know that Ron talked about tam as something that doesn't really exist, meaning in a physical, corporeal, tangible kind of way.
Particulate matter is what he sees.
He does see particulate. Tam is particulate matter.
No, it doesn't have to be. His whole point is that there's the juices, there's tam, there's the mamashas, there's the juices, and there's tam. Those are the
right.
Three.
Do we have any sense?
We're in Tosas, by the way, so we can reject that categorically.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm sort of trying to figure out. In other words, like for
what would the Ron say?
No, what would Tosos say about what is like the like?
I don't think Tosos cares. Tosos doesn't care about mamashas. Tosos only cares about tam. And we can say
this is my question. My question isn't about whether tam involves transfer of mamashas.
My question is, do Tosfos actually wind up recognizing at the end of the day the fact that the particle that the that what we call flavor is actually the total of the particles, which
why does it matter whether Tosfos understood that fully?
Well, because Tosfos' answer is going to depend on that.
Well, no, but the whole point is that even if Tosfos doesn't recognize Tom as particulate matter, Tosfos sees Tom as this ether. Okay, let's say he doesn't see his particulate matter. It's still the same issue. In other words, a certain amount of nevela can only, whether it does it through giving off particles, invisible particles, or whether it flavors doesn't really matter. What matters for Tosfos, as you're going to see in his answer, is what if, what was Tosfos' answer, Rabbeinu Ephraim? It's a case where
the nevela shrivels, so you look at...
We might not even know exactly how much nevela, I think he doesn't say explicitly, we don't know how much nevela there was there in the first place. So if and the nevela shriveled, right? We know it shrunk, but we don't know what was there. So then we assume that it's possible that second chaticha is balua kula of nevela, and we therefore to be mevatel both pieces. You have to be mishar keneged both of them. But if you knew how much nevela was there in the first place, or it didn't shrivel, then you can look at the volume. Now you know if it didn't shrivel, you know how much nevela was there in the first place, and you know that's the volume. You have to be mevatel just one piece.
But not as like, I mean, if you're viewing Tom as the total particles that make up this piece of meat,
right?
Which is what, I guess, Tom is more most, I guess...
Physically, scientifically,
yeah, right? Co-terminus with, right? So that answer still doesn't work, right? Now, you're taking the former hetzer and the shriveled nevela, and you're adding them together.
Because you know that some of the nevela wound up in the heta, right?
Yes.
But you just don't know how much. So that's the way. Whenever we don't know how much, we're mishar the entire thing. That's a consistent rule of the Gemara. We haven't seen it on Tzadi Zayin on a basis in the next Makoros.
But for Rabbeinu Ephraim.
Rabbeinu Ephraim. It makes sense for Rabbeinu Ephraim.
That's the only answer for the question.
Correct. Only together suffix. Absolutely. 100%. Tosfos Teretz is together suffix.
Fine. So for Tosfos, it is a real problem. In other words, Tosfos could have answered like, oh, you know, like, there's enough of the time, you know, the time spread throughout the, the principle of conservation of time is sort of, I guess, like an anachronism we're reading back into Tosfos, or at least it has potential to be one.
Tosfos' kasha presumes that if you start out with X nevela, that's the maximum flavor you can have, no matter what other things you cook with it first.
Right, but I mean, you could very easily see a maskana where that wouldn't be the case. Meaning the Havanina, yeah, but in the...
Well, the only way you wouldn't say that in the Maskana is if you say Chaticha Nasis Nevela, like Rabbi Nutan.
Or that the idea of what Tom is not like a consistent one. But apparently the idea... But just, that was my question was, is Tosfos' idea of Tom consistent? And the answer is apparently yes.
Okay, good. We're in agreement. Matt. So, assuming that you have a proper process that extracts the flavor from the cinnamon stick, the answer is, you're not going to get any cinnamon flavor out of it anymore.
So, if you had that same piece of cinnamon stick, you mean a stick, and you have to do it kosher meat, then there's no issue.
Yes, but you never really know when it comes to that's the point. So that was Yair's question. The reason why the nevela falls into one paradox is the second paradox is because of something.
Right.
Maybe all came out in one, maybe all came out in the other. But if we know in sum total that if those two pots get mixed together, then there's no more than one kazakh nevela.
What if there's still mama shelly to the thing?
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter at all.
Because there can't be more tom than there was in the original mamashas. It doesn't make a difference if the mamashas is there.
But there's still like a form of it.
So the reason why we might asur eating the form itself is because there might be some tom left in that. Enough to asur that.
No, but I'm saying you know that there's no tom.
You don't. That's the point. If you took nevela and you stripped it of its tam, it's called a nevela shein ruyi l'ger, and it's mutter to eat.
I didn't know that.
It's called nevela srucha. Right? If nevela meat rots to the point that human beings cannot eat it anymore, I think it's nevela shein ruyi l'ger. It's machlokas rishon whether it's an issa d'rabbanan or v'achshei. That I believe is the gelatin question.
Is it
right?
Or would not?
What?
Cannot or would not?
Physically, well, human beings can eat anything. You can eat grass, but grass is not considered roi l'achilas adam.
Yeah, no one would eat.
You can ingest it, but the question is, would anybody eat it, or is it totally revolting? And the answer is, normally human beings don't eat rotten meat that's so rotten. I don't mean a little spoiled. I mean really spoiled. They don't eat it because it's vile.
But
vultures. Even vultures probably eat most of their meat fresh. Yeah.
But what Mao's talking about is when there is no taste. There's something different between bad taste and slow taste.
Yeah, there's you used up the cooking, the tasting ability.
Again, in theory, it should be mutter. There's no tam, basar, nevela. I don't think that's really possible when you talk about basar.
I'm not talking
right?
About
it's
that.
Possible. It might be possible with a cinnamon stick. Maybe. Not even sure.
You could probably get it. I'm just thinking of like when you use meat to flavor chicken soup and you've done it so many times.
No, I think you just keep getting less and less out of the meat as you do it. The meat is going to be pretty bland. You probably still tam. But in theory, yes. In theory, if you could leach all the tam out of Isser, it should be mutter. I think.
Couldn't we in theory use a kfela to determine
that? Well, yes. I just don't think it's normally physically done or possible, right? After you cook a lot of chicken soup with chicken, right, and you know, even if you were to take, you could cook it for a really long time, and that chicken in the chicken soup is still going to taste like chicken. It does, in fact. I mean, maybe we didn't cook it long enough. Maybe if we took that chicken out and we put it into.
Have you ever had boiled chicken?
Like you
make
raw,
no
vegetables. So after it's used up, the
they're bland. I don't know if they don't taste. They may taste like. Right, over and over in theory. Right, nobody does that because at some point you're wasting your time because you're trying to get the flavor out. But yes. Oh, boy, what a contentious group. Okay, I like you guys. All right, so tomorrow we are going to, Be'ezras Hashem, finish this Tosfos, I think you should now have the idea of where it's going, so I want to read it very quickly, and then we'll start on to the next Makaris. I wanted to forewarn you, the Kachal piece is quite difficult. I mean, the truth is you can probably get away with just reading the Gemara and Rashi, and you'll be fine on the Kachal part. But there's actually, when you think about what the Gemara is saying, there are a lot of difficulties. It's not so easy to understand that part. Don't kill yourself over it now. It's not worth it. We will do this more when we do Kachal. So just get through the Gemara and go on to the other sources. And when we eventually get to Kachal and Basa B'Chalav, we'll have to really deal with Rashi and Tosus on this Gemara.